bed early is absolutely no problem. Getting up off the floor is a whole other story. I'm a teenager. S-E-E-N-A-G-E-R. Actually, I'm not complaining. I am now a teenager, which means a senior teenager. I have everything that I wanted as a teenager only 60 years later. I don't have to go to school. I don't have to go to work. I get an allowance every month. I have my own pad. I don't have a curfew. I have a driver's license, and I even have a car. And I don't have acne. And the people I hang around with are not scared of getting pregnant. I decided to stop calling the bathroom a John. I've renamed it Jim. Sounds so much better when I say I went to the gym three times. I'm so old, I have dialed a rotary phone that didn't have an answering machine. I've recorded a song that I loved off of a transistor radio onto a tape cassette recorder. I've watched a black and white TV with less than 10 channels, had foil on the rabbit ear antenna. I've taken a long walk without counting my steps. And I've eaten food that I didn't take a picture of. A cowboy from Wyoming moved to Texas, and he walks into a bar and he orders 3 mugs of Bud. He sits down drinking a sip out of each one in turn. He finishes the 3 and he goes back up to the bar and orders 3 more. The bartender said, "Sir, you know a mug goes flat after I draw it. It would be so much better if you brought one at a time." "Well, you see," the cowboy said, "I have 2 brothers. One is an airborne ranger. Another one is a Navy SEAL, and they're somewhere overseas. When we left Texas, we promised each other that we would drink this way to remember the day that we drank together." The bartender thought, "Well, that was kind of nice." And he said, "What I do, I drink one a sip at a time, one for me and one for my brothers." And the bartender said, "Well, good, I understand." Now, the cowboy became a regular in the bar, and he did the same thing. He ordered 3 mugs. He drinks a sip from each one in turn. One day, he came in, and he only ordered 2 mugs. All the regulars noticed, and they got really silent. He came back for the second round of 2, and the bartender said, "Sir, I'm really sorry. I don't want to intrude on your grief, but I wanted to offer my condolence on your loss." The cowboy's kind of puzzled. Then a light comes on, and he just laughs out loud. He said, "Oh, no, everybody's fine. It's just that my wife and I joined the Baptist church last night, and I had to quit drinking." Affected my brothers though, so. Well, good morning. How many first timers? Oh my goodness, that's wonderful. When Philip said last night, 58%, so that is great. This workshop is 2-part. We will have a break in just about 45 minutes, then you come back here. And if you don't come back, I know who you are. So. Now, the bathrooms to you new people can go out that door. If you can't do steps, you turn right. Kids keep turning right, and the bathrooms are right there. I hope you will visit the table down in the auditorium, the jewelry down there, and you just watch David Wheeler. He'll call it cheap jewelry. There's something wrong with that boy. I don't... Anyway, all jewelry is $5. If you buy four, you get one free. And my friend Karen over here is helping me at the table. We'll be there just before the evening service. The jewelry is for the Betty Gray Scholarship in my name here at Johnson. And it is so preachers' wives can go to Bible college. And that is really a real passion of mine. So all the proceeds from the jewelry go to that. Also, there are three books down there. Last year, I had just written this one, The Gypsies, the Bladder Balloons. Now, to you newcomers, and you don't know what a bladder balloon is, you've never lived. I mean, it's where we lived on a farm. My father, when he butchered the pig, would take the bladder, this is the truth, and he'd blow it up. Anybody ever play with a bladder balloon? Oh, okay, I got a couple. All right. But you know I'm not lying. And we would play with that balloon. And it's called Gypsies, Bladder Balloons, and Peddlers. It's a fun book if you've not read that. And then this is my life story, how God directed me as a little farm girl to the platform all over the world. And that's called Reflections. And I will mention this. And this is my hot off the press, my devotional book. And it's just a short devotion. And then there's a place for you to journal on your thoughts on the side. So those are all available, and I'll be there before the evening session, so if you're interested in that. Also, there are two sheets of paper. One is bright orange, one is bright pink. The pink one is for the Indiana State Ladies' Day, which we have in Indiana. This year it'll be at Scottsburg Christian Church. We have about 7-8 states represented. We call it Indiana Ladies' Day. That's October the 20th. If you would like to attend, just write it out, leave the slip on the table there, and I promise you I won't give your address away to everybody, so that's there. Also, the orange one is for our ladies' getaway, which is held in Pigeon Forge. This year we're going to Gatlinburg. We go to a show. We have a special guest that what we have on Friday night. We go to a show on Saturday, all day retreat. Starts on Friday night and ends on Sunday noon. So if you're interested in that, please sign up. Also, on Wednesday afternoon, we'll be doing the drama Corrie Ten Boom at 3 o'clock in the auditorium. So I want you to take your outlines. I want to be a palm tree. And I want us to read the scripture where this idea of this workshop came from. And I want you to read with me the scripture as we read it out loud. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our Lord. They will bear fruit in their old age. They will stay fresh and green. Let's pray. Father, we've come apart for just a few days to these holy grounds to be with you. We want to stop from the push and the shove of life and to hear you whisper, "My child, I love you." Father, you said that every day was ordained for me before one of them came into being, so you knew before the foundation of the world that I would be at Johnson Senior Saints. I'm here because you planned it. So will you help me to know exactly why you chose me to be here? We come before you asking you to meet us at the point of our needs, our cares, our pain. Father, help me now to get out of the way as the teacher and to forget what I've prepared and speak only what you would have me speak, because that's the only way lives will be touched through the Holy Spirit. We've come to see you, Father. We've come to see you and you only. In Jesus' name, amen. The idea of I want to be a palm tree came to me. I go to Florida in the wintertime. I have a small little apartment I go to. It has what they call in Florida a Florida room, and it's glass all the way around. And I like to do my devotions, take my coffee and go. And I look out the window. I had just read Psalms 92. And I could see palm trees all over. And I was thanking the Lord that I didn't have to shovel snow in Indiana, that I'm in Florida, and I can enjoy the beauty of it. And I thought, it says, in our old age, we will flourish like a palm tree. And I thought, well, how does a palm tree flourish? And so, you know, good old Google. You just go on Google, and you hold your phone up and say, palm tree. Well, it was amazing. It was amazing what came up. First of all, I wanted, the first thing that came up, and I said out loud afterwards, I want to be a palm tree. The Google says, the trunk of a palm tree does not grow thicker as they age. And I laughed out loud and I said, I want to be a palm tree. So, okay, that's how this lesson came about. Now, when I say palm, what do you think of religiously? Yeah, you think of Palm Sunday. And they remember they brought the branches, they spread them out. It was a praise. It was an adoration. But it's interesting that Google says that the archaeologists actually, they go back in time and say that the palm tree was actually very sacred, not only for people in Palestine, but Egyptians, Babylonians, Greeks, and the Romans. And there was something sort of mystical about a palm tree. I remember the first time I went into the pyramids in Egypt. And you went down. Actually, there are palm trees carved in the stone that just came immediately to me. But Google says that the ancient coffins always had a palm tree carved on them because it symbolized the passage of going from this life to the next one. But I'm not interested in what the archaeologist, I want to know what the Bible says about a palm tree. And you will be amazed when you go to your concordance about a palm tree. I copied what Google said, 5 pages, you in the front row can see how small. These are all scriptural reference to the palm tree. And of course, we began with the triumphal entry. That is the first thing we think of. But I want to read to you from the scripture, from first of all, from Leviticus. If you want to copy these down and check me out later. Leviticus 23, which is 40 through 42. On the first day, you are to take choice fruit from the trees, from the palm fronds, leafy branches up, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is the last ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it on the seventh month. Live in booths for 7 days. A native-born Israelite, you're to live in booths so that your descendants will know that I have the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Of course, you who know your Bible know this was the Feast of Tabernacle. This was where they took their booths and they built them out of palm branches. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 29 through 33. 1 Kings 6, 29 through 33. This is talking about Solomon's temple. On the walls all around the temple, in both the inner and the outer rooms, he carved cherubims, palm trees, and open flowers. He also covered the floor of both the inner and outer rooms of the temple with room. For the entrance of the inner sanctuary, this is Solomon's temple, He made doors of olive wood and five side jambs. And on the two olive wood doors, he carved cherubims, palm trees, and open flowers, and overlaid the cherubims and the palm tree in between. Now, it's amazing to me how the palm was used as something almost sacred, and we'll find out in just a moment. Just one more time, if you'll turn over to Ezekiel 41. Ezekiel 41. The 41st chapter, and with the 18th verse. Ezekiel 41:18. Let's back up to 17. In the space above the outside of the entrance to the inner sanctuary, the temple, and on the walls of regular intervals all around the inner and outer sanctuary were carved cherubims and palm trees. It's interesting in the scripture that the palm tree, we are acquainted with cherubims, but not necessarily the palm tree. Palm trees altered with cherubims. Isn't that interesting? This again is the carved on the walls of the temple and also on the two doors. We won't look it up, but Nehemiah, remember when he restored the walls, he asked the people to bring palm branches and they celebrated with rejoicing about the wall. But our lesson is on Psalms 92. He talks about the righteous man shall flourish like a palm tree. Now, he says, even in your old age. Now, there's nobody in here old, right? I had a medical issue about a month ago. And I've had the same doctor for many years. It's a lady doctor. I love her and she loves me. And after this happened, she said, Mrs. Gray, look at me. Now, you feel like a kindergarten. You know, look at me. And so I look at her and she said, Mrs. Gray, you are not 45. And you know what I said? Well, who knew? Oh, my goodness. Breaking news. Going to bed early, not leaving the house, not going to a party was my childhood punishment. Now it's become my adult goal. I love this one. The things I used to care to do, I no longer care to do, but I really don't care that I don't care to do them anymore.
I like that.
Now, the palm tree, it is a symbol, and when we go through this outline, I want you to keep that in mind. How does the palm tree flourish as a palm tree? The righteous man shall flourish like a palm tree. We will stay fresh and green in our old age. Okay? So I want you to keep that in mind as we study it. This is for you and it's for me. On your outline, first of all, look what it says. Palm trees grow from inside out. Palm trees grow from inside out. Now, the best way that I can describe this, other trees grow opposite, but a palm tree grows from the inside out. And years ago in southern Indiana, before the days of clothes dryers, we hung our clothes outside. Anybody else ever hang outside? All right. One end of the wire that held the clothes line up was around an oak tree. And through the years, that wire actually disappeared. Because it wouldn't happen. With a palm tree, it would break. Because it grows from the inside out. It grows from the heart. I want you to think about that. If you want to be a palm tree, you've got to grow from the inside. It's a heart issue. I love the old saying, what's down in the well will come up in the bucket. And that is so true. Did you ever see a tree that looks nice, but when the wind comes and it's rotten on the inside, it takes up? That'll never happen to a palm tree, because a palm tree grows from the inside out. It grows from the heart. Everything we do in our life as a righteous person, as an old person, must come from the heart. I recently read of Dr. Virginia Conley, who in 1940 became one of the nation's first female doctors. Dr. Conley devoted herself to medical mission tours. In her late 80s, she was still giving her life to service to others. When asked when she planned to retire, she said, "Every tour, trip, effort, I wonder if this will be my last and ultimate. Only God knows, and this is enough. As I live this life of faith, I'm not looking for the results. I just am going to do the things that God planned in my life and in my heart today." See, it is a heart issue. So I want to be a palm tree because I can grow from the inside out. The second thing here, no two palm trees are... That's right. No two palm trees are alike. In our lifetime, we have come to know DNA. I love to watch the reruns of Dateline. Just the other evening, I watched a case that was 26 years old, and in the cold case, and they pulled out this fire, there was blood from 26 years ago that they could put in a machine now, and they caught the murderer of this little girl. It's amazing. In our lifetime, it just blows me away. You see, there's no one like you. The scripture says in Psalm 139, every day was ordained for you before one of them came into being. For you. Every day. See, he knew that you would be at Johnson Senior Saints. He has your name engraved on the palm of his hand from Isaiah 49. The other day I heard Joyce Meyer say that Isaiah 49:16, God has your name engraved on the palm of his hand, means that tattoos are fine. Well, that's a little more than stretching for me. But anyway, you know why I don't have a tattoo? The same reason you don't put a bumper sticker on a Ferrari. If you've got a tattoo, no offense. But he knit you together in your mother's womb, Psalms 139. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. You are so special to him. You know, it always amazes me of two children that born in the same house, raised with the same rules, are complete opposites. I have two girls. If they would have had to share a room, they would have killed each other. I mean, my one daughter, everything has to be in place. Every hanger has to be hung just perfect. Her drawers were perfect. Then along came my youngest daughter, Love. And let me tell you, I mean, you take it off wherever you are. If you don't want to put it in the laundry bag, you shove it under your bed. I mean, they would have killed each other. They're still so opposite. Zephaniah 3:17 says he sings over you. He looks at you and I just love that. He rejoices over you with singing. There's no one like you. Now, I want to be a palm tree because there's no one else like Betty Gray. And don't any of you say amen. So, all right, number one, I want to be a palm tree because I can survive storms. I want to be a palm tree because I can survive storms. In 1992, I don't know anyone in here from Florida. Okay, in 1992, Hurricane Andrew destroyed South Florida. I saw it. It was one of the eeriest sights I have ever seen. The only thing standing of communities were palm trees. It is amazing. It was amazing. It was, like I say, it just was so eerie to me. And you know, the righteous man in Psalms 92 says, you can survive storms. Now, if I would ask how many people in here have survived storms, it would fill this room in volumes. Every one of us have gone through some, but you know what? We are survivors. Some of you have lost your mates. Some of you have lost a child or maybe children. Maybe you've lost a job or your husband has lost a job and it was so unjust. The other day, a lady driving me to an engagement up in Ohio, dear friend, she was head nurse. She has a master's degree in nursing. She was head nurse of the Seymour, Indiana Hospital. And 3 months before her retirement, they fired her so she wouldn't get retirement. I mean, that's a storm, folks. That's unjust. Corrie Ten Boom, your age group know who she is, during The Hiding Place, where she had Jews in her home, which was the right thing to do when they were being killed. And then she was put in concentration camp. And in concentration camp, her beloved sister Betsy dies. Her father dies. Corrie Ten Boom is a great example of someone that could survive a storm and yet be able to praise God with her life. When I graduated from high school, I was one of seven. I was next to the oldest, and before I went to Bible college, we didn't have any money. There was no money to go to Bible college. I had a job. I had taken shorthand and typing in high school. And so I got a secretarial job. But we lived too far out in the country for somebody to transport me back and forth a job. So my mother took me to a World War I, and I'm not misspeaking here, World War I, so you can kind of add up, you're doing arithmetic, how old is she? But she was a widow of a World War I, and he had come home with tuberculosis, which was prevalent, I guess, in those days. And he died. They had a little boy who had also contracted, because of the father, tuberculosis, and the son had died. And Mary Mitchell, where my mother took me to live, was also contracted tuberculosis, but she survived, had one lung that had to be removed. So therefore, she couldn't work. So what she did, she slept on the couch and rented out her two bedrooms for $7 a week. That makes me feel ancient. Anyway, and that included your breakfast and your dinner. Well, not dinner, but what? That was your supper. $7 a week. But you know, God placed me there. This woman through a storm showed me how the righteous can survive. And I would love to sit at her feet in the evening and hear how she loved God. Her husband was dead. Her son was dead. She couldn't work. She slept on the couch to rent out her rooms to make ends meet. So you see, God says the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree because we can survive the storms. A couple, maybe some of you know from southern Indiana, they were in the ministry, Stan and Jane Thomas. They had two sons. And when I think of someone surviving a storm, I think of that. Both of their sons had married, had children, small children. Their oldest son died of cancer. Their second son died in a motorcycle accident. Folks, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree because we survived the storms. The second the third thing, number two, it bends but does not break. It bends but does not break. And you can abuse a palm tree, you can carve it, you can do anything you want, but it says you bend but you will not break. Now I want to just say something here. Sometimes we as senior adults want things the way it always was. Like last night, the singing of the two hymns, wasn't that beautiful?
Amen.
Because you see, we still like, but can we bend a little bit here? I was up in Ohio for a drama several years ago when the contemporary and the traditional service, they would have one contemporary, one tradition. Maybe some of you still have that. I did a drama for both services, the first and second. But after the first, I went to the door with the pastor to shake people's hands, and people were lined up to come into the second service. Now, I must also tell you that the church van would bring people to the first service, contemporary. People that couldn't, couldn't drive, the church van would pick them up. So as we're standing there, the people are lined up, and one of the ladies who had come on the van, was name was Mabel, and one of her friends lined up said, "Mabel, do you like that music?" She said, "No, I don't like that music, but I love our young people." And I thought, you see, she could bend, but she didn't break. Now, you know what I do on Saturday night to prepare myself for Sunday morning? If I'm home, I listen to the Gaither Homecoming. Because it ministers to me. In my car, all I have is traditional hymns because it ministers to me. But folks, let's be careful. Let's be careful. Let's be able to bend just a little bit, okay? All right, number three, I want to be a palm tree because my roots go deep. My roots grow deep. A palm tree can grow. There was one that I could see from my window in Florida, probably 100 feet tall. I mean, it towered way above everything, out at a distance, and I could see it. But you know, why they grow tall is because they are searching for moisture, roots. Their roots go down deep, even though a palm tree grows in sand. It has to go down deep for its roots. We spend money, folks, a lot of times on things we don't need to impress people we don't even like. I just read the other day, I spend two-thirds of my life acquiring stuff that doesn't matter, only so I can spend the last one-third getting rid of it. What a stupid game we play. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You got to move? But our roots have to grow deep. We're searching for moisture. And a palm tree will search even for a small drop. We survive storms, we don't bend or break, but do we go deeper? Sometimes, as senior adults, we say, well, I used to do that. No. That's why I wrote this book. You read a devotion and you write out to God what God has done in your life or how you feel. My husband, Delbert up here remembers my husband, was a pastor. And this was always his motto, no B, no B, no P, no P. And what it meant was no breakfast before the Bible, no prayer, then I don't have paper. It was before the days of TV. Did you spend time in letting your roots grow deeper and deeper? We're tempted to think, well, yeah, I've been there, done that. Do you journal? Something that I encourage you to do, to have a journal, have a prayer list. You see, that is the only thing important I'm going to give my girls. There won't be money. I don't have any money. I don't care. But I want my kids to find out they were prayed for every day, and my grandchildren. I want that to be left. I want my roots to go deep. In this book, I've written a little story. It's an old preacher story. But it's where a man took his two dogs to the town square every Saturday, and they would fight, and then he would take bets on which dog would win. And finally, one old man thought, the man who owns those dogs, he wins every time, and he always takes home a bunch of money. And finally, he said to him, he said, Henry, how do you know which dog is going to win? And Henry said, well, that's simple. It's the dog I feed. You see, if we don't feed, we're going to grow weak. I want to be a palm tree so my roots will grow deeper. Number four, I want to be a palm tree because the older the tree, the sweeter the fruit. Ever seen anybody that's pretty sour as a teenager? Nothing's right? I want to be sweeter. You see, the palm tree starts producing at 7 years of age, and it's still producing for at least 125 years. Hey, you can't stop. Any of you have ever seen somebody that's pretty sour? Nothing's right. Music's too loud. Preacher doesn't wear a suit. Young people have tattoos. You know what we do? We actually are spiritual prunes sometimes. I mean, you think about it. And I read the other day, it said, as a senior adult, quit giving organ recitals about your bladder, about your liver. Nobody likes organ recitals anymore. Are you judgmental? Are you bitter? It says that you need to stay fresh and green. I love that. We make a living, folks, by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Quote from Winston Churchill. Are you bitter? Are you judgmental? Are you sweeter as the years go by? The old hymn. In Brownstown, Indiana, where my husband and I ministered for many years, there was a lady we called Mama Stewart. To this day, I can't tell you her first name. She's gone on to be with the Lord. But she worked at a 10-cent store. Anybody remember a 10-cent store? And she would always, I don't think she ever got a paycheck, but she would bring a little gift to my girls or to us. She would write on the back of the silent roll call cards a note to my husband. Oh, little preacher, I just love you so much. You got a pretty wife. No, she didn't write that. But anyway. Do you get sweeter? You know, one lady, we were at Lexington, Indiana in Scott County. We were still in Bible college at that time. We'd drive back and forth on weekends. And there was a lady in there. Her name was Mrs. Hardy. During my 60-plus years in the ministry, the Lord has placed many wonderful Christian saints in my path to encourage me in my Christian journey. Our first ministry was located in a small town of Lexington, Indiana. I was young. I was an inexperienced preacher's wife. Mrs. Ella Hardy was one of the dear old ladies of the congregation. She provided me a spiritual gem that I have never forgotten. She was not well physically, but she was a sweet, constant smile on her face and a kind word for everyone. Once, after a dog bit her, she was in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, and I said to her, Mrs. Hardy, how are you? She replied, oh, Mrs. Hardy's tent is not well at all, but Mrs. Hardy is fine. Mrs. Hardy is fine. I'm going to give you a break. We're going to come back. Like I say, if you don't come back, I'll know that We will start at 11:05. I think there's coffee, so take a break. I'll see you later. All right, this is a sign in an ice cream shop, okay? There's no senior discount here. You have had twice as long to get your money. So, why don't you teach your children about taxes? You eat 30% of their ice cream cone. All right, we live in a tech world, don't we? I mean, our grandkids, I mean the babies, they can pick up a phone and do better than I did. But this is an email from a daughter to her father. Dear Dad, I'm in love with a boy who is far away from me. I am in Australia and he lives in the UK. We met on a dating website, became friends on Facebook, had long chats on WhatsApp. He proposed to me on Skype, and now we've had 2 months of relationship through Viber. Dad, I need your blessing and good wishes. Father. Wow, really? Did I suggest that you get married on Twitter? You have fun on Tango? Buy your kids on Amazon? Pay through PayPal? And if you're fed up with your husband, sell him on eBay? All right, now this is more fun. I mean, more truth than it is fun, okay? This is ordering a pizza in 2018, okay? Hello? Gordon's Pizza? No, sir. This is Google Pizza. So I have the wrong number? No, sir. Google brought Gordon's Pizza. Okay, take my order, please. Well, sir, do you want the usual? Oh, my. You know how my usual? How did you know? Well, according to your caller ID, the last 12 times you ordered pizza with cheese, sausage, and thick crust. Okay, that's me. Sir, may I suggest to you this time, though, you get ricotta cheese with sun-dried tomatoes. No, I want my regular. I hate vegetables. But your cholesterol is high. You know? Well, through the lab subscriber's guide, we have the results of your blood test for the last 7 years. Okay, but I want my regular pizza. I already have medicine. But sir, you have not taken your medicine regularly. 4 months ago, you only purchased a box of 30 tablets at the drug sale network. I brought them from another drugstore. It's not showing on your credit card. I paid in cash, but you did not withdraw that much cash according to your bank statement. I have other sources of cash. Uh-oh, then it's not showing on your income tax. Will you stop it? I just want my pizza. I'm sick of Google. I'm sick of Facebook. I'm sick of Twitter. I'm sick of what apps? I'm going to an island without Wi-Fi or internet where there are no cell phones or satellites to spy on me. Now take that. Well, yes, sir, I understand. But you need to renew your passport. It expired 5 weeks ago. Press 1 for English when you're just going to transfer me to someone I can't understand anyway. One more and we'll get down to business. I don't know if Facebook has ever made the lame to walk, but it has beyond all doubt enabled the dumb to speak. All right. Okay, first of all, a palm tree grows from the inside out. No two palm trees are alike. I want to be a palm tree, survive storms. I want to bend, not break. I want my roots to grow deeper. And older the tree, the sweeter the fruit. And now, number 5. I want to be a palm tree because I can serve many purposes. I can serve many purposes. A date palm can produce over 300 dates a year. Nothing's better than a fresh grated coconut for a fresh coconut cake. A purpose. This came from Google, and I just want to read just what it says. There is hardly any part of the date palm that is not used. The leaves are used for roofing and even in olden days to make the sides of houses. They also were made into fences for protection from the wind, animals, and etc. From the crowns, rope are made. The date kernels provide food for animals, particularly the camels, and the seed often are made into beads. A strong liquor is produced from the space that surrounds the flower. This undoubtedly was known to the ancient Babylonians. It is presumed by many that when strong drink is referred to in the Bible as opposed to wine, it means this particular toxin. They can make from the sap. You can make soap, roofing. In Haiti, the roofs many times on the little shacks are made from palms. And to you health nuts, a date provides vitamin B, D2, B3, fiber, calcium, potassium, iron, and etc., and etc. We all have a purpose. That's why you're still here. And it says the palm tree will flourish for a purpose. It doesn't just flourish just for the beauty, but it has a purpose. You have a purpose. One of my friends has been a very close friend through the years, is now in a nursing home. But I email her in the nursing home my schedule. She knew I was going to be here this morning at 10 o'clock. She prays for me. I know when she is praying for me, I know I've been covered. We all have a purpose. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, you all have a purpose. God has saved us and called us by His holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. That's 2 Timothy 1:9. I am always amazed of how one can design objects for a purpose. Can you even begin to imagine the man who years ago stood in the middle of his room and thought, I need to see through that wall to the outside world, and he called his invention a window. For years, men and women have been inventing devices to make life easier. I marvel at now at my cell phone, my computer. I marvel at ships that weigh tons that can travel on the ocean, and how an airplane can fly. Recently, someone invented and introduced a car that can operate without a driver. I'm sure the patent office has never experienced a slowdown. We are created because we were made in the image of God, the Creator. If we know how to design objects for a purpose, don't you suppose that Creator has designed us for a purpose? Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart for my holy purpose. You are no accident. You are ordained in heaven. Your arrival on earth was His timing, and He knew the exact number of days here on the earth. We were born with a purpose before time began. I will flourish like a palm tree because I have a purpose. Number 6. I want to be a palm tree because I'm beautiful where I am planted. Any of you have ever been to Fort Myers, Florida on McGregor Boulevard, right by the First Christian Church? You go down McGregor Boulevard, it is lined with palms. It's just before you get to Thomas Edison home. You pass First Christian Church where my husband and I served. And it's beautiful, but it simply is so beautiful. It's in Fort Myers, but I tell you, you can be beautiful in the desert. No one sees it. We today have been placed in a desert of the world we live in. Daniel says, in Daniel, it says, in the last days, knowledge will increase. Wouldn't our parents be amazed at what we have now on the internet? You speak into your phone. The other day, a lady, I said, well, let me plug in my GPS. We were going somewhere in Ohio, and she said, oh, no, I'm just going to use my Waze. And I thought, well, okay, you know, because my little old GPS can take me anywhere. And she said, okay, well, do you know, it's an app that you download on your phone, which I have now, W-A-Z-E, if you're social savvy. Do you know on Waze, it not only tells you the direction, but it tells you when a pothole is up ahead. I kid you not. I mean, I'm amazed. It tells you when a policeman's up ahead. It tells you when a car is over the side. It'll say, watch out, car of the berm. Watch out, police up ahead. It's called W-A-Z-E. All you have to do is download it on your phone. But see, I mean, I don't know about you, but that's creepy. I mean, that they can tell me where there's a pothole up ahead. But that's all I use. I don't use my GPS. But you know what? We live in a generation. We actually live in a desert because everyone wants a selfie. But you've got machines now that you can hold out and take your own picture. I mean, we used to have photo albums. Now we have selfies. Everybody wants, it's me, me, me. You think about the road rage. Why do we have road rage? It's me, me, me. Everyone thinks only of me. I love this. The Chicago Police Department has replaced all sirens with the national anthem to the fleeing suspects so that they will stop running and take a knee. I don't need to tell you what a wasteland we are today. And the righteous man not only survives, but he flourishes in the desert. And we're living right there. The desert of sin is out there. You know, it's wonderful right here because we're with Christian people. We love each other. But I want to tell, are you a palm tree in the grocery store? Are you a palm tree in the hospital? Oh my goodness, they need help. Are you a palm tree wherever you're planted? Several years ago, my husband and I moved to Julesburg, Colorado. I was just a young preacher's wife. I had no children. We felt it was an open, and I'd hardly been out of southern Indiana. And we moved to Julesburg. Both my girls were born in Julesburg, Colorado. And I was lonely. I was homesick. I didn't know about this business, what you're supposed to do as a preacher's wife. But one lady from the congregation, her name was Grandma Wirtz. I cannot tell you again her first name. But I'd go to her because she was in the hospital. Actually, at those times, they had kind of had a wing that was a rest home also connected to the hospital. There was no rest homes. And I'd go visit her, and she loved the Lord, and she'd just pat my hand, and she'd say, oh, honey, you're just doing such a good job as a preacher's wife. Oh, God just loves you. And she was such an encouragement. She actually was in that place for 5 years. And I'd go see her, and oh my, she was just such an encourager to me. And I knew she was dying, and so I told her, I said, "Grandma Wirtz, you don't know what you have meant to me. You have been so," I said, "I don't know if I could have survived, and I just want to thank you." And tears came in her eyes, and she said, "I've never told anyone this." She said, one day one of the young interns came in, he said, "Mrs. Wirtz, are you the one that everybody talks about, that you talk about God all the time?" And she said, "Yeah, it's probably me." And he said, "Well, I tell you what, if you had enough faith, you'd get up and walk. If you thought God, there is a God, he would heal you and you'd get up and walk." And she said, "Oh, it just crushed me." And she said, "I rang for the nurse," and she said, "Would you take me out to the sun porch?" And she said, "I sat on the sun porch and I just cried and I said, 'God, do I not have enough faith?'" And she said, "I just kept saying, 'God, I've done my best. Do I not have enough faith?'" And she said, "God spoke to me and he said, 'Grandma Wirtz, I've placed you here to bring me glory.'" And she said, I said, "God, if that's you, say it again." And she said, "God said, no, I've brought you here to show me glory." And she said, "I was fine then. I rang for the nurse to take me back to my bed." And she said, "I thank you for telling me that, because God placed me here all this long time to bring you glory." Listen, there is no question about it. We are there because we serve a beautiful place. Number 7, I want to be a palm tree, but I grow in spite of circumstances. Whoop. Well, wouldn't you know, I left one out. Sorry about that. Number 7, grow in spite of circumstances. Let me say it again. It's not on here, and I'll get it here and just grow in spite of circumstances. Let me read what Google says. A palm tree is a root out of a dry ground. The choking, burning heat of sand around it scorches it. The fiercest tempest beats upon it. It is often wounded, roots crushed. All elements of man and beast are combined to injure it. In spite of all that, it continues to flourish. Where is the sweet man from Florida that told me about the palm tree? Tell them about the palm tree in Florida.
Well, I was in Miami during Hurricane Andrew, and I have a picture of that. It's a 2x6 and sticking in a palm tree at Hurricane Andrew with its 220 mile an hour winds. Please, here. I'm not sure, but I think you were able to take the
isn't that interesting? Of what can injure it? But see, you grow in spite of circumstances. I mean, for the winds to drive that into a palm tree, I thought that was so interesting. And whatever your circumstance is, I don't know, you're hurt today. I don't know what you're facing when you go home. I don't know if your kids are breaking your heart or your grandkids. And maybe you think you don't have enough finances to meet it. Listen, we all can flourish in spite of our circumstances. Some of you that may know this lady, if you do, I want you to raise your hand. Her name was Ella Kemp. Anybody know Ella? People will come from her church. For several years, I've taught at the Christian Conference for Senior Adults. Year after year, I love renewing old friends who attend my class. Before class started this particular year, a sweet, dear lady by the name of Ella came up from the classroom and said, "Before you start, Mrs. Gray, would you tell the frog story?" Puzzled, I replied, "Ella, I don't remember telling a frog story. I tell all kinds of stories." She replied, "Oh, yes, you do. That story changed my life." Not remembering the story, I said, "Ella, if the story changed your life, would you mind sharing it to the class?" With a twinkle in her eyes, she said, "3 years ago, this lady told an old fable that went like this. There was two frogs that fell into a crock of cream. One frog knew he was in trouble, so he just gave up and drowned. But the second frog just kept kicking and kicking and kicking until the cream turned to butter. And when he got to the top of that ball of butter, he jumped out. The dear lady continued, 2 years ago, I found out I had cancer. I remembered Mrs. Gray's story. Instead of giving up, I decided to be like the second frog and kick. Because I did, I'm here today. The class broke out in a rousing applause. At the last count, Ella had given over 200 China frogs, and she had given to people who was, she was known as the frog lady in her community. Now she buys miniature China frogs to give away to other people to tell them, keep on kicking, keep on kicking. Isn't that beautiful? Number 8, I want to be a palm tree because I'm not too old to bear fruit. Not too old to bear fruit. Oh my. You see, God says to each one of you, I've got you here for a purpose. You're not going to be too old. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, outwardly we're perishing, but inwardly we are renewed day by day. You can still produce. You're never too old. A lady by the name of Bess Lundstrom lived in Florida. She made Barbie clothes for a Haiti mission. They sold them, actually, Barbie clothes and made thousands of dollars. Her name is Catherine White. She lived in Cape Coral, Florida. Her husband was disabled, so she put her sewing machine in the living room so she could be with him. She made over 4,000 dresses for Haiti children. Yes, you see, we need to still bear fruit in old age. And what do people see in you? Do they see a compassion that they love you, that you are something to them? I love this story. It was a bitter cold evening in Virginia that an old man waited by the river hoping for someone on a horse to carry him across. His beard was frozen with frost and his body numb from the cold as he waited. When he finally heard the sound of horses' hoofs, he watched a dozen of horsemen appear. He let them all pass without asking for a ride across the river. Finally, one rider remained. As he caught his eye, he asked, "Sir, would you please give me a ride to the other side?" The rider helped the old man into the horse. Seeing that the old man was half frozen, the horseman decided to take him all the way home, which was several miles out of his way. As he rode, the horseman asked, "Why didn't you ask one of the other men to help you? I was the last one. What if I'd refuse?" The old man replied, "I've lived a long time, son. I know people. When I looked into their eyes, I saw they had no concern for me. I knew it was useless to ask, but when I looked into your eyes, I saw kindness and compassion." At the door of the old man's house, the rider resolved, "May I never get too busy in my own affairs that I fail to respond and someone sees it in my eyes." With that, Thomas Jefferson turned and directed his horse back to the White House. What do people see in you? You see, we're never too old to bear fruit with the kindness that you show. Number 9, I want to be a palm tree because it stands for guidance. Has anyone ever said to you, "Thank you for what you mean to me because you've directed me"? We were meant, folks, to actually stand for guidance. Someone once. Whatever it is. Is it shade? Is it water? Is it a kind word? Is it something you see? In Haiti, I've been to the mission field there many times. They actually cut into the palm tree so that if it's not a moonlight night, they can direct themselves by feeling. By guidance. Is there anything in your life that somebody looks to you and that you have been the one that's guided him towards heaven? Delbert Gray's wife here reminded me of this story of guidance. Several years ago, I was living in Julesburg, Colorado, as I told you, one of our first ministries. We moved there because my husband's father in the faith had died on Sunday morning in a heart attack, and we were scheduled for a revival. We went out, but he had died as a heart attack on Sunday morning. So we went out for the revival, and they said, could you come to Julesburg, Colorado? Well, sounded like an adventure to me. So we moved to Julesburg, Colorado. But Mrs. Harris, Loyal Harris's widow, was in that congregation. One Sunday night, when we used to have Sunday night service, the parsonage was about a block away, and my husband had already gone ahead, and it was steps. Remember the old churches where you had to take steps up the to the church building? And when I got there, here was this lady. She was pointing her finger at my husband's face like this, and he was saying, yes, Sister Pash, yes, Sister Pash. When I finally got up there, now see, you can attack me and I'm fine, but you leave my kids and my husband alone. And that's a mother instinct in us. And he wasn't standing, he was just saying, yes, Sister Pash. And I said, well, what has he done? They said, well, he didn't go to a party that she had invited you to in the afternoon. Well, I just jumped into the situation and I said, Mrs. Pash, I want to tell you the reason he wasn't there, because he was called to the hospital. And boy, people began to scatter, you know. And so Mrs. Harris was standing there, and she took me by the arm, and she said, you come with me, honey. You come out the car with me. I said, I'm leading song service. She said, I said, come out the car with me. Took my hand, and she said, now, little girl, I want to tell you something. What you did in 2 minutes will take your husband 2 years to undo. And I said, he wouldn't say anything. She said, he was doing fine till you got there. And I said, what do you expect me to do? And she said, honey, bite your tongue. She said, bite your tongue. She said, now you can bite your tongue and smile at the same time. It's kind of funny looking, but you can smile. And so she had to go into a nursing home in Sterling, Colorado. I saw her, and I said, oh, Mrs. Harris, how are you? And she said, well, I'm not too good. And she said, honey, how are you doing? And I said, hey! and she said, what do you mean? I said, you told me to bite my tongue. And she actually had forgotten it. But you see, that woman was a palm tree of guidance for me. I never forgot that. And I did have to bite my tongue a lot, believe me, because you can tell by my temper, but I can tell you all. So it will stand for guidance, all right? And then the fine of the point says, a group of trees form an oasis. A group of trees form an oasis. What happens of the trees of a palm tree if they are together? They're intertwined at their roots. And it's important for palm trees to be grounded together. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. I hope your church is an oasis. I hope you're not fighting over stupid things, because we need each other. And if you will notice up from your scripture, notice what it says. It says, they will flourish in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our Lord. We need each other. A snowflake is one of the world's most fragile things, but look what it can do when it sticks together. Several years ago at the Lexington, Indiana, young, still going to Bible college, we would drive there on weekends, and I was just telling Delbert this story. When we moved there, it was an old-time building. Now, some of you may be old enough to remember that they actually put the platform and the pulpit right by the doors. And this church was built years ago when you had two doors. One was for the women, one was for the men. We come a long way, baby, haven't we? But when you came, the platform was here. Well, there was no inside plumbing, bathrooms. So if a kid had to go to the bathroom right in the middle of the sermon, he'd walk out right by the front of the church. And my husband said to the board, why have you not thought about putting the platform and the pulpit up the other, move it? They said, well, what? What a great idea. We just never thought about that. Well, we did. Well, you'd have thought we burned the church down. Yeah. And my husband and I would go with him, and we would try to smooth feathers. Any preacher in here have to smooth feathers of the congregation. And we would, I mean, I was so tired of mooning all these people. Well, my grandfather carried logs for that church. And I was so tired. By the end of the last person that we were to visit, her name was Cora Bridgewater. I'll never forget. She never married, just a little, I mean, she looked like a bar of soap after wash day. There wasn't much to her. And so she said, now, little preacher, I want to tell you something. She said, I don't care what you do to that church. She said, if you put my pew on top of the church, I don't know how I'd get up there, but I'd get up there. So she said, you just do whatever you want to. I'm worshiping the Lord. I'm not worshiping the platform. And I went over, I mean, like I say, she wasn't very big. I grabbed her and swung her around. I said, that is the best thing I've heard all day. She's long gone to be with the Lord, but you know what? She was an oasis for me. Sometimes in the church, we are not an oasis. Palm trees are called the prince and the princess of all trees. It's a great symbol of a life dedicated to God. And it says, in our old age, look at the scripture again. It says, we will bear fruit in their old age. They will stay fresh and green. Oh, could I say to you, let's stay fresh and green in the church. Quit griping and complaining about things that don't matter, that don't have eternal value. Let's stay fresh and green. And then what is so beautiful to me is the palm branches in Revelation. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation 7. Revelation 7, 9. It's just absolutely so beautiful that this is mentioned not only beginning with Leviticus, Ezekiel, Nehemiah, and yet it is mentioned at what's going to happen to us in Revelation 7, beginning with the 9th verse. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, and they were holding palm branches. Oh, isn't that beautiful? In their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. It's not only in the beginning, in the palms are all through a thing. I want to be a palm tree. You know, I don't really know How many of us will be here next year? They couldn't operate without me, so I'm sure I'll be here. Oh, no, 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 I'm sorry.
They'll do the bring you and set you here.
Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. From James 1:12. I will never forget the 1984 Summer Olympics, where a young American distant runner, Derek Redmond, was running in front of the pack, well on his way to a gold medal. Suddenly, with only one lap to go, Derek's hamstring muscle snapped. He fell to the ground in great agony, and fellow runners dodged past him. I gasped, as I'm sure all Americans did who were watching the race via satellite. In great pain, Derek rose from the track and began hopping on one leg towards the finish line. Late stragglers passed him. People on the sidelines were concerned, yelled for him to lie down until help could come. Yet Derek hopped on. Long after the race was over, Derek Redmond kept hopping. Derek was about 100 yards from the finish line when a figure in the stands began jumping over people, chairs, and even the retaining wall. It was his father, Jim. Rushing to his son's side, he placed his arm around Derek's waist. Derek slung his arm over his dad's shoulder, and together they half-bounded, half-round the rest of the way. Derek didn't win a gold medal that day, but all who saw the son and his father knew that Derek and Jim Redmond had achieved a different type of victory. The crowd stood to their feet and with thunderous applause. Folks, there will be trials and pain as you run this race of life, but remember, we have our Father who places his arm around us to help us finish. We long for him to say to each of us, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." A crown awaits those who finish the race. I want to be a palm tree because I grow from the inside out. Look at your outline. No two palm trees are alike. I want to be a palm tree because I can survive the storms. I want to be a palm tree because I bend and I don't break. I want to be a palm tree because the roots grow deep. I want to be a palm tree because the older tree, the sweeter the fruit. I want to be a palm tree because it serves many purposes. I want to be a palm tree because I'm beautiful for planted. I want to be a palm tree. I grow in spite of circumstance. I want to be a palm tree because I'm never too old to bear fruit. And I want to be a palm tree because I stand for guidance. And a group of trees form an oasis. The palm tree is known as the prince and princess of all trees. Yes, Lord, I want to be a palm tree. Let's pray. Father, I want to be a palm tree. I want to stand for guidance. I never want to be too old to bear fruit. I want to grow in spite of circumstances. I want to grow where I'm planted. I want, Father, to be sweeter. I want my roots to grow deep. I want to bend and not break, and I want to survive the storms. Father, you are my treasure. I thank you for this week. And Father, thank you that you can speak personally to us. Give us understanding, Father, this week. And help us to cross the finish line. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name, we all said, Amen. You know...